Hello, Apostolic Insiders. It is the third Sunday of Lent. Yesterday on the radio broadcast, I had a Protestant fellow ask this question about 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where St. Paul prays the Thessalonians might be wholly sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. He asked, does this mean man is essentially three parts? He is tripartite. And I said, no. In fact, Jesus gives us a hint as to the answer in Matthew 10:28, when he says, fear not him that is able to kill the body, but fear him who, after having killed the body, is able to cast both body and soul into hell. There, Jesus intimates what we can know through the pure and natural light of reason, with good philosophy, man is essentially a body-soul composite. However, that doesn't answer the question. What about spirit, soul, and body in St. Paul? Well, St. Paul in two verses gives us the answer. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, the unspiritual man, or in Greek here, it comes from the root psuche, which means soulish man or natural man. The natural man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So notice, the natural man operating in the soulish realm cannot understand things of the Spirit. Now go to 1 Corinthians 3:1. But I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So notice, there are three essential realms that a man can walk in. The fleshly realm, which represents the lower appetites. If we are dominated by them, the Spirit of God cannot dwell in us, as Romans chapter 8, verse 8 plainly says, the one who lives in the flesh shall die. That's the fleshly realm. Secondly, the soulish realm, which is in the intellectual realm. That's where pride and envy and the angelic sins, as Dante referred to them, dwell. And if one is dominated by the soulish, the intellectual realm, apart from grace and the Spirit, they too cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And so then we have introduced the spiritual realm. Now, for St. Paul, this is not a third essential component of the human being, but this is the God consciousness, if you will, the supernature that's introduced through the sacraments, sanctifying grace that illuminates our intellects, allows us to comprehend the mysteries of the faith, to walk in the Spirit, to be able to fulfill the law of Christ, love one another as I have loved you. Not another essential component, but for the Christian, my friends, it's the difference between going to heaven or not, because we need the spiritual in order to understand and cooperate with the things of God. Now, with that in mind, the readings this third Sunday of Lent are classic examples of the fleshly realm, the soulish realm, and the spiritual realm toward which we all must move if we are going to heaven. Let's look at Exodus 17. Great example of the fleshly realm. Here we have the children of Israel. They're in the wilderness, you know, in the desert. After being miraculously set free from the bondage of slavery through the miracles God gave through Moses, now they're out in the desert, and you know the story. They're thirsty. And so what do they start doing? Longing for Egypt. They're complaining against Moses and ultimately against God. We're thirsty. Why did you take us out of Egypt? I love the way Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 talks about how they long for the melons and cucumbers and leeks, onions and garlic of Egypt, right? This is a great example of the fleshly realm. When the fleshly realm, whether it be the appetites of food or sex or whatever, it could be greed, when they dominate, the Spirit is obliterated in our lives. And in fact, they can obscure everything. All you can see is your sensual appetites, and you do anything to fulfill them. That's the fleshly realm. And isn't it interesting? It happens in our lives as well if we allow it to. Just as the Israelites, they're longing for those flesh pots in Egypt and the garlic and the melons and the onions, right? But they forgot about the slavery part that goes with it. In the same way, God seeks to remind us by his Spirit over and over again, when the devil is tempting us, longing for those sins of our past, right? When in times of darkness and perhaps loneliness, we look back at, you know, those sins seemed pretty pleasurable back then, and we want to do them again. We forget the slavery that goes along with those sins. That's the fleshly realm. And remember this as well. God does give them the miracle. When they beg for water and they say, you know, we want to go back to Egypt, God tells Moses, go ahead and strike the rock and I'll give them a miracle. But God wasn't happy about it. Be careful, my friends. How? There's nothing wrong with asking for miracles, but be careful how we do it. Because when we put God to the test, we're walking in dangerous territory, my friend. In fact, in the psalm here for this week's liturgy, I'll just read verse 8 of Psalm 95. The scripture says, quote, oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. And by the way, those words, Meribah and Massa. Massa means testing. Meribah means quarreling. And who were they testing and quarreling against? Almighty God, my friends. That is not where we want to be. But that's what the fleshly realm can do to us. It can obliterate the spiritual in our lives. But now let's move to Romans chapter 5, because here we see the answer. And here we see where we need to be as Christians. In Romans 5 verses 1 through 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. There's the supernatural love and life of God in which we must walk if we are going to get to heaven. Why? Heaven is a supernatural place. In order to get there, you need supernatural power. So notice, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And notice this, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. So notice, the hope that we have never disappoints. If we are walking in the grace of God, experiencing the love and life of Jesus Christ, in fact, from time to time, we'll see miracles in our lives, but we will always experience that love and that life, transforming lives, our own and others. The flesh pots of Egypt look like nothing. And the sins of old look like nothing. They're not a temptation because we are experiencing real life, my friends. Now let's move to the gospel here, because here in John chapter 4, we see the great example of the Samaritan woman at the well, who experiences and demonstrates both the fleshly realm and the soulish realm. And we see how Jesus moves her to the spiritual realm. You know the story. Jesus approaches the Samaritan woman at the well and asks her a simple question. Give me a drink. And he causes quite a stir. And remember, the woman herself is shocked. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Now, why is that? Because the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And they were not permitted, especially rabbis, to speak to a woman in public. Jesus kicks the boxes, you know, doesn't he? He kicks the sides out of the boxes of culture. I love that. But she's shocked, and later the apostles will be shocked that he spoke with a woman in public. They were particularly shocked at that. But Jesus answers her and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would give you living water. The woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Notice the Samaritan woman is in the intellectual realm, right? She is looking at it purely on a natural realm. Okay, you're going to give me water. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I will give will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then notice the woman says, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Notice she's still in the intellectual realm. She is not seeing the Spirit yet. And so Jesus abruptly changes the subject and says to the Samaritan woman, go, call your husband and come here. Notice Jesus now moves from the soulless realm to the fleshly realm. He's challenging the Samaritan woman on both levels. The woman answers and says, I have no husband, right? And you know what Jesus says? You're right, you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And I love her response. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? Yeah, he just exposed the fact that she is living in a fleshly realm in illicit marriages as well as the soulish realm, and she can't see the spiritual realm. But then Jesus elevates the conversation, right? After she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Notice he's elevating the conversation to the level of what? Spirit. And the woman says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. Then Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. And then the disciples came and they marveled that he was talking to this woman. And the woman is elated. And notice what happens when Jesus says, I am. She's been introduced to the spiritual realm. She is excited. She goes into town and she tells everyone she has met the Messiah. And in fact, she brings many to Jesus in the process. Folks, that is a great example of how we cannot get to heaven, whether it's in the fleshly realm that is being dominated by the lower appetites, or the soulless realm, the intellectual, apart from the Spirit of God that illuminates our intellects and wills and also empowers us to overcome the lower appetites. Jesus represents the whole package. His desire is to set us free. And just as we saw last week, when that happens, we're not only going to change our lives, but a whole lot of other people are going to come to Jesus. God bless you.